Predicting the future is at present big business around the world. According to one recent article, psychic services are expected to reach between $2.3 and $2.4 billion by the end of 2024. It's an industry that has been growing over the past decade. Over the last 5 years or so, it's growing on average of 2%. That might not sound like much, but when you think of how big it already is, 2% is a lot. Across the United States and the European Union, there are 50,000 active psychics, healers, and mediums. And their average wage is $98 an hour. That's just the average. So some are even making more than that. According to their research, 62% of American adults believe in psychics, reincarnation, or astrology. 62%. Sadly, 61% of Christians surveyed believe in those same three things. Interestingly, only 22% of atheists believe in one or more of those. Around 1 in 5, or 22% of Americans, say they have consulted a fortune teller, a medium, or a psychic at some point in their life. And in other parts of the world, those numbers are much higher. In Poland, for example, seeing a psychic, a medium, or fortune teller is extremely common. According to the Polish Ministry of Education and Science, around 50% of the nation's population have seen a fortune teller at some time in their life. One out of two. Why are psychics and fortune tellers and astrologers so popular these days? How much of it is real? How much of it is fake? Is it just practicing harmless fun? Or is it playing with fire from hell? What should the Christian's response be to all this? Does the Bible have anything to say about it? Those are the questions I'd like to address this evening. The message is entitled, The Danger of Divination. And I want to begin with the broad principle of divination. Last week we talked about the occult. We broke that down into three categories: divination, magic, and spiritism. While all three of these realms call upon the spirit world, and as we're going to see, demons, the end product is different with each of these. Divination seeks supernatural knowledge. Magic seeks supernatural power. And spiritism seeks supernatural contact with those who have departed. What is the thing all three have in common? Supernatural. We're not looking for things that anybody can do themselves. This is powers beyond ourself, knowledge beyond ourself. Magic may be defined as the manipulation of supernatural powers in order to control events of nature or life circumstances. We're actually going to look into magic specifically next Sunday night. As a branch or subdivision of magic, divination is the art of deciphering and interpreting signs which are said to reveal the future. So again, divination is more about knowledge. And specifically, what's going to happen next? I mean, anybody can look back, right? You know, you don't need supernatural powers to study history. We know what happened. And you can even observe what's going on today. But to peer into the future is something that human beings are not equipped to do. But these different forms of divination say that we can reveal the future. We can give you knowledge about what's coming today, in the near future, or even in the far distant future. One resource put it, Divination is related to biblical prophecy as magic is related to biblical miracles. Meaning, these are Satan's ways of corrupting what God does. You see, there is such a thing as foretelling the future. God calls it prophecy. And God inspired prophets to tell what's coming. But Satan has his corrupted version of that, and that's what we're talking about tonight, this idea of divination. Interestingly, the Hebrew word that is translated divination throughout the Old Testament is a word that means to prophesy. The activity is the same, the source is very different. And that's what sets it apart. So you could say that divination is counterfeit prophecy, even as magic is counterfeit miracles. And they both have the same source for how it comes about. Now, we don't use that word divination a lot these days. You find it more in the Bible than in contemporary conversation. We talk about it as fortune telling, right? Knowing what's going to happen in the future. Psychic powers that you hear most common today are telepathy, which is receiving or sending thoughts to another person. We joke about that, you know, oh, they're on the same wavelength, you know, they're thinking the same thing. This goes far beyond that, okay? Precognition, which is a knowledge of the future. Clairvoyance, maybe you've heard that term. Clairvoyance is the ability to see the past, present, or future. Psychometry, the ability to read an object by holding it and thus gaining information about the owner or past owners of that object. You bring in, you know, an article of clothing that somebody wore, and this person can supposedly hold on to it, and they would tell you things about that person you wouldn't otherwise know. It's all part of divination. People throughout the ancient Near East and Mediterranean regions employed divination to access the domain of the gods, whom they believed would communicate their will or knowledge to humans. These ancient peoples devised methods that they thought could prompt or even force the gods into revealing such information. This idea of divination was trying to get supernatural knowledge. And it was sought after by kings and heads of state. It was sought after by religious people, wealthy people. People wanted to know what's coming, and they would turn to divination for that. And you see a lot of this described in the Bible, particularly in the Old Testament, in the surrounding nations of Israel, and occasionally these practices would slip into the people of God as well. So that's kind of the broad principle of what divination is. Let's move on to the basic practices. Attempts to gain supernatural knowledge in this way are divided into two categories. There's the inspired, which is divine communication using a human intermediary. So this would be like through prophecy or dreams or visions. The other is deductive. This is divine communication through events or observing things, like reading the stars, or reading the organs of an animal, as we're going to see, or the way cards are laid out. So it's deducing the future through objects. All right, so two categories there. Divination dates back into the ancient world. Astrology dates all the way back to ancient Babylonians, as they were charting the movements of the planets and the stars, the sun and the moon, and they observed the correlations between these movements and events on earth. And you read about it in the scripture. In Isaiah 47, verse 13, it says, "All the counsel you have received has only worn you out. Let your astrologers come forward, these stargazers who make predictions month by month. Let them save you from what is coming upon you. So even back in the time of Isaiah, some 700 years before Christ, these astrologers were at work. And it goes far beyond Isaiah's time. It goes back 1,500, 2,000 years before Christ even, where in Babylon they were making these charts and deducing the future from the stars. I also mentioned that these ancient diviners would read significant things into, you know, such objects as animal organs, smoke rising from a sacrifice. You know, depending on what the smoke did, it was either good or bad fortune for you. Or the ripples of water from stones tossed into it. They would drop a rock into a body of water, and then how the ripples went, you know, would supposedly tell your future. I'd want to go by with one of them flat rocks and see if it would skip. What's that tell you? Again, we see this in Scripture. Ezekiel 21:21 says, "For the king of Babylon will stop at the fork in the road, at the junction of two roads, to seek an omen. He will cast lots with arrows. He will consult his idols. He will examine the liver." That's where they would sacrifice an animal, open it up, and check its liver. And if the liver was in good condition, then you would have good fortune. And if it was a heavy drinker and had cirrhosis, I guess you're out of luck. Now, the Bible does record that there were even people that were following God that used practices of divination. Joseph and Daniel both interpreted dreams. God authorized priests to use the Urim and Thummim, which were a form of casting lots. You see where even common people would cast lots in a number of places in the Old Testament. And this was not condemned. You say, why? You know, why was this allowed, but these other practices, as we're going to see, God very strongly condemns? And the reason is this: they were asking God for guidance. They weren't looking for this knowledge through the power of Satan. Now, I'm not suggesting that we should ask God to bless our horoscope. That's not the point. But where you see these practices done, where God sanctions it, it is for him to communicate his will. What these other nations and peoples were doing was trying to get that knowledge without God. And that's where it became a problem. Modern occultists seek to access secret or hidden information through a lot of different practices. And I just want to go through, and some of these you may have heard of, some of them maybe you haven't. None of these are an endorsement to go try them. Please listen closely through the end of the message to see what God has to say about these things. But I do want to at least introduce you to these ideas so that if you hear them, you're familiar with what they're talking about. I've already mentioned astrology, and that's very popular today. That should not be confused with astronomy, okay? Astronomy is a science that studies heavenly bodies. The sun, the moon, stars, planets, those kinds of things. That's a science, and that's, if you hear of an astronomer, that's a legitimate science. Astrologer or astrology is different. That claims to forecast events on Earth by observing the stars and sun and moon and planets. Astrology also claims the ability to predict human character and fate based on where the stars were aligned when you were born or on a particular day. And these are where horoscopes come in, right? Have you ever, again, not advising you to do it, but have you ever looked at a horoscope? You know, depending on when you were born, you know, you have these. Have you really thought about this? How many people just in America were born within your astrological sign. All right? There's what, 12 of them? And there's 330 million Americans, so do the math. Millions of people fall into that astrological sign, and every single one of them are supposed to have the same thing happen to them? Really? And honestly, if you do ever happen to see, you know, a horoscope, they're so broad and general, they really don't mean much of anything. Probably so nobody can come back on them and say, well, you said it was going to happen and it didn't. You know, they say things like, look both ways before crossing a street. No kidding. They're really not all that helpful. And if they do get into specifics, they're either fraudulent, because it doesn't happen. If it does, beware. That's when you're playing with fire. The basic idea on which astrology is based, that the stars and the planets and the sun have a decisive influence on human affairs, has been rejected by many scientific groups around the world. The German Astronomical Society, to the American Commission under the chairmanship of astronomer from Harvard University, the American Sociology for Psychological Research has concluded there is no evidence that astrology has any value whatsoever in revealing the past, the present, or the future of any human being, and there is not a slightest reason for believing that social events can be predicted by astrology. Similar pronouncements have been published by UNESCO and many teachers, writers, and scientists. And you say, then why is it so popular? Why do so many people, first thing they open to in the paper is this their astrology? You know, some people say, I won't step outside the door of my house until I've read my astrology for the day, you know, make sure something bad's not going to happen. Even though there is no basis for it. I don't care what they claim, this is not science. It's actually divination. Or just a money-making fraud. Either way, it isn't real. And yet, so many people are caught up in it. How about crystal ball gazing? We see that, right, in cartoons, you know, or movies, or maybe there's a fair and there's, you know, somebody's, oh, we got a crystal ball, you know. But do you know that's actually a practice? It's called scrying. I don't know where that came from. And it doesn't have to be a crystal ball. It can be mirrors, it can be water, but it's where they gaze into something and based on the reflections of what they see, they interpret it for your future. Cartomancy is a forecast, there's a way of forecasting the future through cards. Now, sometimes it's just the use of, you know, a deck of 52 playing cards, or there's also something called tarot cards. Maybe you've heard of those, and they have these images on them, and based on the cards that come up, the reader can predict your future. Palmistry. Palm reading. They follow the lines in your hands, and supposedly they can tell you what your fortune is going to be. I always thought about going to one because I've got a scar right here from a chemistry experiment gone bad, and I always wondered what a palm reader would think of that. You know, really throw them off. Psychometry, I mentioned, is being able to identify the characteristics of a person through some object that they used or they wore. Numerology assigns power to numbers, such as the date of your birth or converting the letters of your name to numbers to reveal hidden meanings. And you know, I've even known some Christians to do that, especially with the number 666. Oh, we're going to assign, you know, you could make just about any name you want add up to 666 if you had the right formula. In fact, I did this once. I was teaching a class on the book of Revelation. And we came up to that passage where it says, you know, the number of the beast is 666. And I had a really slow day at work one day, and I'm just kind of fiddling around with things, and I figured it out that if you start A equals such and such a number, and B is one up from that, and C, and you go through the whole thing, I had it down, and it does work, where the numerical equivalence to the letters that spell SpongeBob SquarePants came out to 666. And so I told everybody I was going to reveal the identity of the Antichrist, and I had a SpongeBob tie on that night. I did that to show how ridiculous it is, all right? That's not why it's there, so that we can figure out the future by numbers. Another popular item is psychic games. We're going to talk about the Ouija board in a little bit. How about the magic eight ball, Shake that up and see what it says. Now, I know there are people like with the magic eight ball, some people that it's just silly. It's right on the same line as reading a fortune in a fortune cookie, all right. But there are people who take this very seriously. And they pattern their lives depending on what is revealed through these things. Pendulums and similar devices are used in divination. I've never done this, but there is a question asked, have you ever swung a needle or pencil at the end of a thread or string over a pregnant woman's belly to see if she's going to have a boy or girl? I guess that was a common practice sometime, somewhere. Still is, yeah, okay. All right, you got a 50-50 chance. I mean, why not just flip a coin, I guess? I don't know. It's done under the guise of a fun game, but it's actually a form of divination. Hosea 4:12 contains a reference to an early form of a pendulum. It says, "My people consult their wooden idol, and their diviner's wand informs them." And from what we know of ancient history, they would take two rods upright while doing an incantation. They let the rods fall to the ground, and depending on how the rods fell, whether forward or backward, right or left, they had a certain meaning. So basically, drop two sticks on the ground, and it tells you what your fortune's going to be. A lot of these types of things. Here's one that I had never heard of before. It's called I Ching. It's something from the Far East. It usually comes as a set of coins or sometimes cards marked by broken and unbroken lines. And the I Ching has a book of changes that helps you to interpret how these things go. That was a new one to me. Here's one I'd heard of a long time ago, reading tea leaves. Yeah. Yeah, and I can relate to that because I drink tea. It's called Tassiomancy. Yeah. It also can refer to reading coffee grounds for you people that have no taste. And no. But where coffee is drank more than tea, they even take the coffee grounds and someone will look at it and tell you what's going to happen in your day based on how the coffee grounds are. Sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? And yet, they're making over $2 billion a year on this stuff. It's amazing. Some omens become part of folk superstitions. Like if you drop a spoon on the floor, that means you're going to have company coming over. If you break a mirror, you have 7 years of bad luck, right? A lot of superstitions and the belief in luck, one way or the other, often reflects an occult way of thinking. Now, here's the catch. And this is really, I think, where it gets dangerous. Almost all of these are marketed as some kind of fun. Fascinating. If you ever look at a horoscope, there's fine print at the bottom that says, "For entertainment use only." That's just legal jargon to keep them from being sued. But it's marketed as just fun and games. Did you know that Ouija boards have been around since the 1880s? And it was thought of as just a fun parlor game. Did you know that you can still buy a Ouija board today on Amazon? They're still making them. They're still marketing them for ages 8 and up. And what's really scary with the Ouija board is, in order to play it, you are asking for a spirit to answer your questions. And trust me, it's not the Holy Spirit that they're asking. That's where this gets dangerous. Sure, somebody has a magic eight ball and, should I do this or not? And they laugh about it. You start playing with a Ouija board, you are literally playing with fire. And the sad thing is, you present an opening for demons. If you're an unbeliever, that's an opening for a demon to come in and possess you. If you are a believer messing with those things, you cannot be possessed by a demon, but you can certainly be oppressed by them. And these are some of those gateway activities that lead to these really bad things that happen. I noticed that on the Ouija board, on the back of the box, if you really zoom in, it says, Ouija, it's only a game, isn't it? It's even suggesting that maybe there's something more. Let me go beyond that. There is something more, and it's not good. John Stott writes, why are these occult practices dangerous? My answer is they're dangerous because they're demonic. I don't mean that either the devil or demons are personally involved in every one of those practices, but rather those who are involved in them are trespassing into demonic territory that is forbidden by the children of God. So let's not play these games, because they are really demon-inspired. And I want to conclude tonight with the biblical prohibition on divination. What does the Bible say about these things? And it's pretty clear. You don't need a seminary degree to understand what the Bible says. Leviticus 19:26 says very simply, do not practice divination or sorcery. That's pretty clear. In Deuteronomy 4:19, when you look up and you see this, you look up to the sky and you see the sun, the moon, and the stars, all the heavenly array, do not be enticed to bowing down to them and to worshiping things the Lord your God has apportioned to the nations under heaven. Don't do it. Don't get mixed up with astrology. In 2 Kings 23:5, King Josiah was reforming the nation of Judah. It says he removed those who burned incense to Baal, to the sun, the moon, and the constellations, and to all the starry hosts. So even in Judah, the people of God were practicing astrology. The Lord prophesied in Jeremiah 8:2 that the bones of idolatrous Jews would be exposed to the sun and the moon and all the stars of heaven, which they have loved and served and which they followed and consulted and worshiped. Once again, astrology is forbidden. I had previously mentioned Isaiah and Ezekiel spoke against various forms of divination. How serious is it? In Leviticus 20, verse 27, a man or woman who is a medium or spiritist among you must be put to death. You are to stone them, their blood will be on their own heads. It doesn't get any more serious than that. God is absolutely against these things. And you say, why? Why does God make such a big deal over this? Well, these forms of divination are at least deceptive, because some of it's just fraudulent. Some of it's just to make money. But at worst, it's demonic. And you can't always tell right offhand which is which. And so we need to be very careful. I read one verse out of Isaiah 47. I'd like to go back to it and see more of the context. Isaiah 47, beginning in verse 12. God is speaking here, and understand there's a bit of sarcasm in this. Keep on then with your magic spells and with your many sorceries, which you have labored at since childhood. Perhaps you will succeed. Perhaps you will cause terror. All the counsel you've received has only worn you out. Let your astrologers come forward, those stargazers who make predictions month by month. Let them save you from what is coming upon you. Surely they are like stubble. The fire will burn them up. They cannot even save themselves from the power of the flame. Here are no coals to warm anyone. There is no fire to sit by. This is all they can do for you, those you have labored with and trafficked with since childhood. Each one of them goes in his error. There is no one that can save you. God is very clear that we are not to have anything to do with these practices of divination. It's the pagan counterpart to prophecy. If you really look into the scriptures, you'll see that this divination is calling upon demons, whereas genuine prophecy is the word of the Lord. Seeking knowledge of the future from any source other than God himself is an insult to God. What it really is saying is, I don't trust you to take care of me, so I got to figure it out for myself. That's really the bottom line of trying to know the future in advance. Now, this whole realm of fortune telling, it carries with it an excitement, kind of an eerie magnetic appeal that prompts curiosity and can draw people into it. Some people think, oh, it's just a game, something to do when you're at a party, you know, or just to have some fun. But the Lord repeatedly warns us against attempting to determine the future by the basis of astrology or any of these other practices of divination. There's no such thing as dabbling or just playing around with the occult, because you are playing with fire in all of these things. Once we crack those doors, we're opening ourselves up to a world of hurt. In Leviticus 20, verse 6, the Lord says, I will set my face against the person who turns to mediums and spiritists to prostitute himself by following them, and I will cut him off from his people. God was not messing around with the Israelites when it came to these practices. Consulting a psychic in person or by phone for fun or out of curiosity should be avoided. As with astrology, it is tempting to start using a psychic as a way to cope and to make decisions. And there are a lot of people doing it. Remember the money that they're making on this? And some have ended up relying on the psychic as a counselor to listen to their problems and to tell them what to do. Don't take this lightly. Don't just laugh it off, because your children may not be so discerning, or your grandchildren, and they might think, oh, it's okay to dabble into these things. It's not just harmless fun. What they're doing is everything but turning to God to react to the present and prepare for the future. There are no shortcuts to knowing the future. Try this. If 1 year ago somebody told you what was going to happen to you over the next 12 months, what do you think your reaction would have been? How about 5 years ago or 10 years ago? If you had been told everything that's going to happen in your life over this next period of time, you'd probably drop dead of a heart attack, right? Life is not meant to be lived in chunks. It's meant to be lived day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute, relying on God. Because that's what we call faith. And faith, not fate, is how we are to live our lives. As Christians, we should feel no need to indulge in any form of fortune-telling because the future is in God's hands. We are required to obey His will and spend our lives serving Him in faith and in love. It is no part of our commitment to try to divine what the next step might be. We need to trust in the Holy Spirit to guide us day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute. In God's mercy, the future is normally hidden. What is required of us is the faith and the courage to face what the coming days hold for us. It really just comes back down to those three simple words, trust and obey. That's how we should live our lives, not trying to determine what's going to happen in the future. I want to open it up a few moments. Are there any questions or observations you'd like to make this evening?
I'm surprised you didn't bring up
King Saul. We're going to. Yes. Yes, yes. We're going to bring up King Saul in a couple weeks when we get to Spiritism. And there's some other topics that we hadn't gotten to yet just because we're going to, but you're absolutely right. That was the end of Saul. Yes, Bob.
So in some older movies I've seen, like maybe the Grapes of Wrath, they used a divine rod to search for water.
Okay.
Was that a practice of going not to God, but to an alternative method, I'd say?
That's a very good question. The question was, what about water witching, in which you use divining rod. Well, I'm guessing if it's called a divining rod, it's probably considered divination. It is to show you where water can be found. I'm going to be honest. I don't know much about it. There very well may be science behind it. It could be like magnetic something, you know. If it's science where it's something that's going to happen every time, it's, you know, can be proven in a laboratory, then I don't believe it fits into this realm of the supernatural. If it's just, you know, a way of discerning where water is and there's science behind it, we're not praying for a spirit to guide us to where the water is. But I'll be honest, in my study for tonight, that didn't come up. I don't know a lot about it, but I am aware of that practice. So that might be something good to research. And the thing that I'd look for, if you do, look for the science behind it. You know, if there is a natural explanation where it's going to happen every single time, that's not what we're talking about here tonight. Nelson.
Divine rod. I've got divine.
Yeah. Burn him, burn him. No.
And like I say, I think it's something that God put in our bodies and signs. I don't use them to.
Yeah. I'm sure there's a funny line for that, but I'm going to resist. What would make the difference between a man and a woman? And for that, again, right? Where there is science, just like astronomy, okay, studying the planets, the moon, the stars, the sun, and that kind of thing, there is absolutely nothing wrong with that. The scientific pursuit of that's astronomy. Astrology takes those same things and tries to predict the future based on them. That's where it becomes a problem, okay? So some of these issues that we're talking about here, they're very well maybe, and the only reason that I don't say there is because I don't know myself, but there very well may be scientific reasons why they work the way they do. I mean, that's just like using a magnet, all right? There's a scientific reason why magnets do what they do. And that could be the same as this. Yes, Zoe. Mm-hmm. Right. Right. Did they hit it?
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Where there is science, it's gonna repeat. You have, you know, the reason they call them laws of science is because it's gonna do it every single time. And that's different than foretelling the future, because foretelling the future, obviously, no two people have exactly the same future. And so it is a different category, I believe.
Well, and something else too, I remember as a child, we didn't have a Ouija board. We shouldn't have it. We didn't know.
Yeah. Right.
And I remember one time we had several of those kids were playing with it, and I got afraid of it. See, that was God.
Right. Right.
And I just never did that before.
Right. Yes, even though things like the Ouija board are marketed as fun and it's a game, you know, even children as young as 8 years old can play it. God has a way of communicating that this is not something to play with. Sadly, there are children who have been exposed to that, not aware of what they were really getting into, and it has led to later demonic involvement in their lives. And again, I personally believe that for a demon to possess an unbeliever, there has to be a gateway. I don't think it's random. And oftentimes that can be that open door. So it's something very serious. I know we've joked about some things tonight, trying to keep this from being really a downer, but we do need to take things seriously, especially from God's word. Jeff.
I don't know about telling the sex of the body because I've never been heard of that. But it has to do with the magnetic field in your body and the magnetic field in the ground. Because I can take two wires and I can walk out in that field and I can tell you where every field tile is, anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But if I reach out and grab hold of her wrists and walk with her, then the wires will move for her. So it has to do with chemical makeup of your body, magnetism, and they also say it has something to do because where they put the dirt, when they move the dirt, put the tiles and stuff in, the dirt obviously doesn't go back exactly the same
right
piece next to each other.
Sure. Oh, okay. All right.
So, the one guy made was a heavy, heavy gauge copper making nail.
Okay.
And the one thing I remember, ladies, I'm sorry, it was when you walk, and they did when I bought
one. Yeah, right. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, I was going to thank Jeff for not attributing that to a matter of intelligence. Thank you. We don't want to start a war here. All right. Yeah. Yes. Miracle of flying hymnals. Where the science is, that's got part of God's creation. And the natural laws of science are amazing. And to when you think about gravity, you think about magnetism and, you know, all these, those are the only two things of physics I remember. But yes, right. Just simple observation. Right, right. And it's repeatable, right? Yes, yes. It's not something random, so. Ah.
And it does work.
Okay. Okay. When it is something that you can practice over and over and again and it works every time, that's science. Okay, that's a natural law. That's not random, which pretty much divination is. Just by its very nature, it has to be random. And that's where you're asking for spirit beings to get involved. All right. Will you bow with me and we'll close in prayer? Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for true prophecy that we can believe in because it comes from you. I pray that you would help us to resist the urge to know things that you have chosen not to reveal. Your word says that the secret things belong to the Lord, and let's leave them there. But help us to walk by faith, not by sight, knowing that you are already in our future. Our future is in your hands. So may we put our hands into your hands and walk with you day by day with the faith in you and not in what we think we know. Go with us now, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.